Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thanks for joining us. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. It's August 10th, 2017. Like I told you yesterday, we don't have a guest lined up for today or on Monday. Barry Prince will be joining you tomorrow, and I'm sure he does have a guest. So thanks, Barry, for doing your homework. Anyways, I wanted to talk to you about the current news. And I think the biggest thing that sort of blew most of us away, if anybody's paying attention to any nuclear news, is a story that came out of Fukushima. It broke 5 hours ago. This is the title of it. Fukushima disaster, World War II bomb found at Japan nuclear site. They actually, while they were digging for the reconstruction, found a bomb. So I'm going to read you this story. It's a bit of a shock, but it reminds us that war isn't over after war ends. A suspected unexploded bomb has been found at the site of the Fukushima nuclear plant in Japan. Now, this is from the BBC News. This was posted 5 hours ago. The U.S. is thought to have dropped an 89-centimeter long or 3-foot long device during World War II. It was found by workers building a car park at the site where the 4-decade-long decommissioning process is underway. How do you like that? That just always incites me when they call it decommissioning. Tens of thousands of residents had to evacuate the area after a reactor meltdown in 2011 following an earthquake and tsunami. That's another misnomer. It wasn't a singular nuclear reactor, and it's not like it's finished melting down. It's in a catastrophic state of meltdown. The incident at Tokyo Electric Power Plant site was the world's most serious nuclear accident since Chernobyl in 1986. Now, here's another little lie they get to jump in here. No one directly died in the meltdown, but 3 former TEPCO executives are facing trial on charges of negligence because of deaths related to the area's evacuation. Wow. So that was found on BBC. Let me go to ENE News and see what this says. Because this is a big story. This makes me wonder, like, what else could be there? This reminds us, folks, that even though the bomb, you know, today is the day after Nagasaki happened. 72 years ago today, people were celebrating, literally celebrating, because Nagasaki forced the Japanese to completely surrender. But they were celebrating at the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people. The war was over. Well, as we found out today, the war is not over. The war has been ongoing. So I'm going to read another story that ENE News has picked up. the Mancini, Mainichi, that's what it's called, Mainichi. This was from August 10th, not the BBC, so we'll see where this is. Japan's national daily since 1922. Let's see if it has anything different than what they said. What appears to be an undetonated bomb has been discovered at the premises of the Fukushima No. 1 nuclear power plant, Tokyo Electric Power Company announced on August 10th. The device was discovered buried in the ground at a parking lot, undergoing maintenance in the western corner of the premises at 7:30 a.m. by an excavation worker. With a length of approximately 85 centimeters and a diameter of about 15 centimeters, the cylindrical apparatus has what appears to be a stabilizer tail. It was located roughly a kilometer from the damaged number 1 and number 4 reactors. Wow. The Fukushima Prefectural Police are working to confirm if the device is indeed a bomb and are considering disposal method if it is confirmed to be an explosive. Police have cordoned off the surrounding area, but the situation has not caused any effects on the decommissioning of the plant. U.S. Air Force has launched an airstrike in an area around the power plant during World War II, according to Fukushima Prefectural Archives. So that's kind of an interesting little thing. By the way, if anybody wants to call in during this hour, the phone number is 718-717-8106. If you know me on Skype, my name is Lonnie.Clark7, Lonnie.Clark, number 7. So I'm going to move on. I'm just going to keep reading the news because there is really so much. And to be honest, I thought about reading the nuclear alerts, but there are some things that I wanted to talk to you about. So I can go to the nuclear alerts if we're finished with this. But there's some pretty, to me, shocking stories in the nuclear arena today. This was from the Associated Press on August 10th, 2017, at 7:40 a.m., I guess that's East Coast time, and this is in the Star Tribune. This is the title. This is what perked my ears. Utility pays bonuses to execs before nuclear project fails. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but you get paid money because you know the plant is failing, so hey, give us our bonuses before we close the plant down. That's why nuclear loves us. We keep paying them no matter what. And nobody goes to jail no matter who dies and how much of the environment they kill, how many people they lie about, no matter what they say, no matter. They're kind of like they got that Trump effect, right? No matter what they do, although Trump's magic potion is coming to an end, they're pretty much finished. They're about to dispose of him like used toilet tissue. Okay, I'm going to read this story. The company that led the failed effort to build two new nuclear reactors in South Carolina paid its executives millions in bonuses for some of its work on the project, a federal review record shows. A review of the filings of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission shows ScanaCorp paid executives more than $21 million in performance bonuses over the past decade, including money for work on the V.C. Summer Nuclear Station north of Columbia, the state newspaper reported. The filings do not say exactly how much of the $21 million was based on the failed project. Scana South Carolina Electric Gas Company and the state-owned utility Santee Cooper last week abandoned plans for new reactors, for which they already paid $9 billion. Billion here, billion there. Who really cares, I guess, huh? Much of the money already was paid by customers. Wow. The utility blamed construction delays and cost overruns. The problems came to a head when lead contractor Westinghouse filed for bankruptcy protection. I'm sorry if I laugh, folks, especially the people in Carolina, in South Carolina. Scana spokeswoman Rhonda O'Banion told the newspaper the company doesn't talk about employees' pay. Last year, Scana's top five executives received $3.3 million in performance-based pay, according to the federal filings. Nearly half of last year's performance went to Scana president and chief executive Kevin Marsh and represents a quarter of his $6 million in total compensation. One person in the nuclear industry at this one little tiny power plant failed project got paid $6 million. That's reasonable. The filing said Marsh's $1.4 million performance-based bonus for 2016 was paid in part because of his oversight and support of our nuclear construction activities. Hey, so if we turn our lives around and we decide we're going to support nuclear, does that mean we get paid billions of dollars and millions of dollars? Bastards. Oops, sorry about that, you guys. For most of the last 10 years, about half of the performance-based pay was based on the meeting of profit goals. The rest was paid for individual and department goals, including construction milestones on the reactors. A law passed in 2007 gave the utilities the ability to charge ratepayers for reactors before they were completed. The same law allows the utilities to charge customers for the project even if it was not completed. Some lawmakers are trying to stop the utilities from recovering the money. Lawmakers have been outraged by the failure of the project, whose projected cost ballooned from about $11 billion to more than $20 billion. Both Senate President Pro Tem Hugh Leatherman of Florence and House Speaker Jay Lucas of Hartsville have appointed committees to review how the project failed and what can be done now. Reps Russell Ott of St. Matthews is a member of the House Review Panel. Knowing everything we know now and knowing that we have a project that has been abandoned, those are some pretty staggering numbers, Ott said. Governor Henry McMaster said that he is looking for ways for the project can continue to complete at least one of the reactors. One of the ideas under consideration would include the sale of Santee Cooper, the state-owned utility that was responsible for 45% of the project. You know, it always kind of blows me away whenever I'm searching for these stories, how much is not told to us, how much is actually left out of the information that we are looking for. Like, for me, I'd like to know a lot more about this the Santee Cooper, the state-owned that was responsible. How did that come to pass? To me, this whole thing with nuclear is all about, it leaves out more information than it actually provides. It's kind of like it leaves out the fact that it kills us. And, you know, they want us to have nuclear power, but they completely refuse to admit that it is causing harm to human beings and life on our planet. Speaking of life on our planet, you know what I really do want to do? I want to see if that lady updated the, it's the End Times Prophecy. That's kind of the side of it, endtimesprophecy.org. Because the very last thing that she submitted was in July. So yeah, it did get submitted. The last time it was like July 27th. So now we're now August 9th, and there are, again, hundreds of thousands of birds, the birds are taking it the hardest, the bird species, maybe the fish and the birds are the ones that are just taking it the hardest, folks. They just can't take it. August 9th, hundreds of dead shearfish birds found washed up on Long Island beaches in New York, America. Hundreds of shearwater birds. That is super sad. They're just dead all along. August 9th, 2017, 12th right whale found dead, this time in Massachusetts. August 9th, dozens of sea lions washing up, 31 dead since June in California. Wow, I'm going to open up a couple of these links so we can read these stories. This is stunning. 1 million birds killed due to avian flu in Zimbabwe and South Africa. Don't you love how they always call it the avian flu? Hang on just one second. had to take a sip of my coffee, folks. Sorry about that. One, listen to this one. Oh, this is going to break your heart. 140 dead dolphins have washed up this summer along the coast of Romania. This was posted August 6th. Hundreds of dead fish wash up in Orange Beach, Alabama. Thousands of dead fish wash up in Dover, England. Mass die-off of fish in a lake in California. That's pretty innocuous. In a lake in California, there's several lakes. Let's open that tab, too. 66,500 chickens killed due to avian flu in Inner Mongolia, China. That's kind of funny. These round numbers always kind of crack me up. Thousands of dead fish found on the waters of Eastern Lakes Estates in Texas. Two dead whales dead after stranding in Queensland, Australia. Hundreds, maybe thousands of cattle dead from flooding in Gujarat, India. 5,000 chickens dead to avian flu in Dawai, Myanmar. And this is the last one since we did it last. Hundreds of dead fish wash up in Clear Lake, California. So we are really in an environmental crisis. You don't just have dead birds, dead animals, dead whales. How many whales was that? The 12th dead whale. 12th North Atlantic whale found dead off the coast of Martha's Vineyard. What a shock. It's like this massive animal just rotting and decaying off of Martha's Vineyard. And they're going to say they have no idea that where it would be, but they have no idea. Oh, this is interesting. This is a little bit of the rich being rich. I'm going to read. It's like a three-paragraph story. A 12th North Atlantic whale has been found dead, this time at Martha's Vineyards in Massachusetts, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, Fisheries. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Fisheries. In an interview with Global News, NOAA Fisheries Greater Atlantic Region spokesperson Jennifer Goebel said the whale was found Tuesday floating off of Edgartown. She said that Martha's Vineyards Land Bank Commission sent photos to NOAA's fisheries, which confirmed it was a North Atlantic right whale. The International Fund for Animal Affairs, located on Cape Cod, is performing a necroscopy Wednesday to determine what caused the death of another endangered right whale. Goebel added that it would not take place on a public beach area, but would not say where it was due to privacy reasons. Wow, so that means it died on someone's private beach. Through the photos provided by the commission, Goebel said that they were able to confirm it was a right whale. As of last Thursday, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans said it would bring all resources necessary to protect the right whales after 10 had died in the Gulf of St. Lawrence. Early this spring, Goebel said there was also a right whale that died being stranded on Cape Cod. In an email, she said final results of the necroscopy report have not been received, but the initial analysis was that the death was due to the whale being struck by a vessel. A whale being struck by a vessel. Why would a whale get struck by a vessel? DFO Minister Dominic LeBlanc said last week that he believed 80 to 90 right whales are currently in the Gulf, and the DFO says in total, there are approximately only 525 right whales in the world. 525 right whales in the world, folks. Various precautions have been taken as a result of the deaths, including asking mariners to slow their ships to 10 knots when passing through the areas and limiting the amount of rope they have on the water. LeBlanc says collisions with ships and fishing gear entanglements are major threats to the whales. During one entanglement last month, however, a veteran fisherman from Campobello was killed while freeing a whale. This incident prompted Canada and the United States to temporarily suspend efforts to rescue entangled whales. As of Tuesday, the Canadian efforts to disentangle right whales remain unauthorized, but Goebel said Wednesday that disentanglement of other whales have been authorized again, once again in the U.S. The rescue for right whales can take place as well, but NOAA asked rescuers to check with them first, and each will be looked at on a case-by-case basis. Authorization of disentanglements came after U.S. officials conducted an investigation of what happened to fisherman Joe Howlett took place, and following a review of safety protocols, it was determined safe for responders to respond to other whales. She said Canada and the U.S. are staying in constant communication about the issue. Wow. So they're actually regulating who can save a whale and who cannot save a whale? The right whale that was found in Martha's Vineyards was very decomposed, but there is no indication yet that how the whale died. Goebel added that the NOAA fisheries asked people out on the water in the area right whales have, Goebel added that NOAA fisheries asked people out on the water in an area right whales have been on, been seen to go on, to go slow. In an emailed statement, a DFO spokesperson reiterated last week's confirmation at least 10 right whales' death confirmed in the Atlantic Canada, calling it an unprecedented number of deaths. The DFO said it would also continue bringing in measures to protect whale deaths and said efforts are already underway, which includes closing snow crab fishing areas, asking fishermen to watch for whales, as well as providing a $56,000 towards whale habitat and listening equipment. This money would support the development of a real-time alert system for mariners. The department added that it would continue to work with partners to conduct necroscopies on the whales in an effort to discover what caused their deaths. So I'm wondering if they ever test these poor little creatures for the nuclides, I guess it would, and probably it would be coming from on the East Coast. The greatest contamination is probably coming from Sellafield, which is still spewing nine million liters of radioactive waste into the Irish Sea every single day. For about, 10 years now. It's been going on for a super long time. And then in California, they're just watching their poor little seals just wash up dead every time, and still no word about the Fukushima killing the ocean. I mean, this is why people who are paying attention to this, who make videos, are screaming and yelling. This is really the reason, is because we're literally being killed and poisoned, and we're just expected to ignore it. And yet the world's getting all freaked out about the Trumpster with his stupid, we're going to, the world has ever known his, bluster. It's actually a real threat. Donald Trump, in my view, is a genuine, real threat to the world. We don't need a tough guy. He needs to watch that documentary, Tough Guys, man. Although I think he's just, he probably needs tapping to reprogram himself, because he's completely mentally ill. It's pretty obvious. We have a mentally ill president at the helm. I don't know. Maybe they're all mentally ill. I don't know. I'm going to keep reading some of this nuclear news, because especially since these threats, the back and forth between, Trump and Kim Jong-un, which basically are the same personality types. I mean, I think we're closer to nuclear war than at any time that I've ever lived since I was a child. Let me put you that way. This is a pretty serious thing when the president of the United States basically is threatening nuclear war and a little squat nothing of a country. I mean, let's be clear. North Korea is nothing compared to the United States. It's a dot on the map. It's not even a threat. If it did anything, it would be disappeared. And while China might not like it, they wouldn't really do that much. It's not worth it. So, crazy world we're living in, folks. That's what's crazy. Okay, let's talk about what they're planning on. This is totally hilarious. They are pushing the SMRs all over again. CNBC, new cutting-edge reactors could completely reshape the way people think. about nuclear power plants. Think, Anmar Farangal, who wrote this 6 hours ago on CNBC. An Oregon business has developed technology that could alter the way we think about nuclear power. New-scale small modular reactors, or SMRs, measure 65 feet tall and 9 feet in diameter. It's about as big as this room. Jose Enriquez, co-founder and CTO of the business. Jose Enriquez, by the way, just graduated with his PhD from Oregon State University 2 years ago and got a multi-million dollar check from President Barack Obama to start this program. Co-founder and CTO of the business told CNBC's Sustainable Energy that we are, quote, commercializing a small modular reactor. It's a nuclear power reactor that's a pressurized water reactor that can produce 50 megawatts electricity, enough power for about 50,000 homes. Oh, how sweet of you. For its part, the U.S. Department of Energy's DOE, Office of Nuclear Energy, has said that small advanced nuclear reactors are a key part of the department's, quote, goal to keep safe, clean, and affordable nuclear power options. There are no safe, clean, and affordable nuclear power options. None. Zero. I'm going to keep reading. According to the DOE, the advantages of the advanced SMRs include their relatively small size, lower capital investment, and provisions for incremental power additions. Reyes added that the NuScale power module consists of a reactor vessel inside a containment vessel, all factory manufactured. So don't worry, it's like a cookie cutter. We just come in, plop it in place. We could actually carry it in on a truck, so don't worry about it. As many as 12 modules can be operated and monitored from a single control room. So that is exactly what they plan on doing. Each one of these 9 by what they say they were. Let's look at this. 65 feet tall and 9 feet in diameter. So they plan on putting 12 of them on a facility and building them all as they go up. As the idea is that as they need the energy, they'll bring in another one. Reyes added that NuScale power module consists of a reactor vessel inside of a containment vessel, all factory manufactured. As many as 12 modules can be operated and monitored from a single control room. Reyes went on to explain that the design was scalable and that the customers could add power as and when it needed. It was scalable. One potential advantage of the modular system lies in the amount of space it takes up, with Reyes saying that NuScale's facility's protective zone could be at a site's boundary. What that means, then, is a reduction in costs, but it also reflects the fact that it is a very, very safe plant. I took a picture of this guy. He is completely, these guys get this look of lunacy on their faces. I wish I could post the picture of this guy. He is completely insane looking. By contrast, Reyes said that traditional nuclear power plants in the United States were required to have a 10-mile radius around the plant to act as a protective zone. Wow. So they don't even plan on having a 10-mile radius around the as a protective zone? The Director General of the OECD's Nuclear Energy Agency, William D. Magwood IV, told Sustainable Energy that SMRs are an entirely new way of building a nuclear power plant. Magwood IV added that the SMRs are getting away from the large central stations that cost so much to build and are so difficult, and replacing those with small factory-built modules that can be put in place very cost-effectively. Doesn't that make you guys feel good about nuclear power? It makes us feel really great. How sweet of them. That's unbelievable. I cannot believe that we're being sold these pack of lies once again. Sorry about this. I lost my little place here. Hang on. So I'm just going to keep moving on reading stories. I mean, this is just from today's news, folks. I mean, these stories are out there. For those of you who want to find these stories, what I do is I actually find a lot of them on Google News. And then when there's a really good story, you have to look around because Google does suppress a lot of the better stories, you know, so you kind of have to search around. Okay. So we did the exploding bomb. That's totally hilarious. That does make sense, the unexploded bomb at Fukushima. But I wonder how many other ones have found it. I mean, I wonder how many other things that it could that they could actually find there. There's another story, and let's talk about this. Dead seabirds. Okay. Extreme weather, the one on Lake Elsinore, they're calling the dead fish, that lake where the dead fish washed up in California, that's Lake Elsinore. And they're saying it's caused by the extreme weather from the heat. And there's pictures of thousands of fish. It's disgusting. But that was, they said the die-off occurred during a series of days when the temperatures reached over 100 degrees, which I imagine that we're going to start seeing because I know here in Oregon where we live, it's quite bizarre. Outside, the skies are not blue. They're sort of gray because of the smoke. We are getting the smoke from the British Columbia fires and the smoke from the forest fires in Oregon. And, you know, we're not even hearing about the British Columbia fires. We should probably do a little Google scan on that. But that is spreading radioactive contamination. Let me see if I can find that. Fires, British Columbia fires. I wonder if they have actually begun to get that under control, because if you look at a map at the British Columbia area, the whole site, there's so many fires up there. It's unbelievable. It is a really serious situation. There's enough fire that it is actually coming down. There's a story 3 days ago in the New York Times titled "Seattle Chokes as Wildfire Smoke from Canada Blankets the Northwest." And that is for sure. It is definitely blanketing the Northwest. And you know what's coming down along with it is all the radioactivity that settled in the forest fires from Fukushima. All that radioactivity from Fukushima. They're right in the direct line of fire from. And maybe that's why they're so. The fires are so uncontrollable, because they are filled with radioactivity. And once again, we won't really know. These are just our best estimates because no one ever really talks about it. Oh my gosh. This is one from 18 hours ago. I'll open this one up. It's a wildfires blog. And it says, the title of it says, 128 active wildfires in British Columbia. 128. They flew in 108 Mexican firefighters from Mexico to help them. Let me see if this story opened up. My computer's blocking that blog. Must be something there with it. So if anybody wants to give us a call, the number again is 718-717-8106. Give us a call and we can talk about anything that you want, or we can talk about nuclear, or we can talk about the Trumpster and why you think that he's making America great again. I'm just shocked. That's his phrase. I actually call it morons. What is that? Morons are running our government or something like that. It's just so shocking. You know, my friend Ed Oz, who's been on here before, and he's talked about the Trumpster and his connections to the CIA and how he got into this. We really believe that he has been installed to destroy our American institutions. That's why he's in there. This is an intentional. He breaks every norm intentionally. He's intentionally breaking every norm. And people say, well, that's because he's fighting the deep state. He is actually part of the deep state, folks. He's not part of the deep state. You don't get into the White House without being part of the deep state. And him being magically elected was not magic, as the Russia probe is going to disclose. I mean, I'm still sticking with my idea that I think that the Democratic Party of hacking into Bernie had something to do with allowing the Russians into our election cycle. And I think we're going to see that they're all sort of tied in together at the end of this. That's why they are calling in a lot of the Clinton people. They're investigating the whole, this whole thing into the Trumpster is expanding. And so just wait. We're going to see now whether we get to see the full light of day of it. I seriously doubt it. But maybe we will as they drum off to war. That's what partly what they like to do is drum people off to war and then tell the truth about things that are going on. So, bit of a shockeroo there. Let me get back to the ENE News because ENE, many of you know ENE News as the place to go. It used to be very effective to go to the ENE News. And the problem with it is somehow it got stopped. We don't know what happened, but about 2 years ago, all of a sudden, stories stopped appearing and it became an occasional thing. And it happened around the time when the Japanese passed their secrecy laws. So as soon as the secrecy laws went in place in Japan, ENE News really stopped producing. This is a story that came up that I don't think I covered. You may have heard it on another show, but I think it's worth talking about. This is a little bit of an older story on July 24th. And it's the title of it says, "Melted fuel found at Fukushima, corium up to 6 feet thick below the reactor. Nuclear waste piling up at the bottom. Lava-like material has been spread all over, hanging like icicles. A mystery orange substance is seen." So they have sent in their little magic video recorders, and that they are seeing that there is actually massive amounts of melted nuclear fuel. So I'm going to open up. Now, any of you who've gone to ENE News, when you click on a story, what you find is a compilation of a variety of different stories that are covering it. So this is a story covered by Iwan McCurdy and Yoko Watusaki, and that is from CNN. So this was dated July 24th, 2017. And this is talking about what that robot found. A robot operating deep inside a failed reactor at the stricken Fukushima nuclear plant north of Tokyo has revealed what appears to be stalactites of melted nuclear fuel, the plant operator has said. The discovery is considered to be a key development in the decommissioning process of the plant, which suffered a catastrophic meltdown in 2011 after a huge tsunami swamped the facility. Remotely operated within submerged parts of Fukushima Daiichi's plant unit number 3 reactor, the robot sent back 16 hours worth of images of massive lava-like fuel deposits on the floor of the pedestal, a part of the reactor that sits underneath and supports the core. "You can see something melted and solidified, fallen from inside the reactor," said Takahiro Kimoto, acting director for nuclear power and replacement. "So we believe there is a high possibility that it was molten metal and fuel debris." He added that the data and imagery would be invaluable in determining how to remove the fuel debris. Last week, technicians from the plant's operator, Tokyo Power Electric Company, revealed their initial findings from 3 days of exploration. "From today's investigation, we confirmed likely melted materials that are consolidated, some fallen substances such as gratings and sediments. However, it added that further analysis of data is needed to confirm conditions inside the pedestal, which will need to be examined based on the image data obtained through consecutive explorations," meaning this is not going to be the last one. "The discovery is key to determining how we further advance the cleanup of the plant, a process that is expected to take decades." And it's going to take decades because they really haven't even figured out how to do it. That's why it's going to take decades. What they forget to tell us is there were stories a few years ago that says we haven't even figured out we need new inventions in order to clean this up. This is the first time that we could confirm the status inside the pedestal. This is a big step towards decommissioning the decommissioning process. They show this picture, folks. I wish it looks like an octopus. It looks like these big, huge beams with these circular things. And I don't know what the circular things are. Maybe the rods. I don't know, broken rods. But big, massive amounts of orange glued to the metal. It looks like a big, goopy, orange mess down there. Having entered the stricken pressure containment vessel through a pipe designed to prevent the escape of radioactive gas, the robot descended into the cooling water which accumulated following the accident. The device was equipped with thrusters to navigate through the water and featured front and rear cameras. The small radiation-hardened screw-driven submersible robot was designed to fit through a narrow 5.5-inch diameter entrance of the pipe, according to the Tokyo-based International Research Institute for Nuclear Decommissioning, which developed the device alongside the technology company Toshiba. We have already developed remotely operated robots for inspection at Fukushima, said the general manager of Toshiba's Nuclear Energy Systems and Device and Systems and Services Division in a statement. His name is Goro Yanasi. In this case, we had to meet the specific challenges of limited access and flooding in a highly radioactive environment. Working with IRID, we succeeded in developing a small robot with high-level radiation resistance, and through its deployment, we expect to get information that will support the advance of the decommissioning. As the robot navigates through the ruined reactor, melted equipment and fuel deposits can be seen. The mission was launched after previous photographic inspections of Unit 3 reactor suggest that during the accident, fuel assemblies melted from the excessive heat, dropping from their original position down to the pedestal area, according to the statement released by TEPCO last week. Technicians guided the robot over 3 days to film the inside of the reactor and the damage wrought by the meltdown. The catastrophic event was caused when a 9.0 magnitude earthquake struck near the coast of Japan's main island of Honshu, creating a massive tsunami, knocking out the nuclear power plant's cooling system. The cores of three of the plant's six reactors were damaged by overheating and resulting in hydrogen explosions blew apart the buildings surrounding two of the reactors. I have to say, that's stunning. That's the first time I've heard that true, real description. And it's kind of ironic because it's from CNN, Donald Trump's fake news place, you know. I mean, maybe Trump calling them out on their fake news will actually force these people to get a little bit more accurate in their reporting, which has allowed him to call them fake news. I mean, it's kind of ironic that he's biting the hand that fed him, you know, like the fact that he is president of the United States is because of CNN and MSNBC and Fox. Of course, he's friends with Fox. Fox owns him. But MSNBC and CNN covered him 80 times more than Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders would have 10 to 20,000 people show up, and they would never even made the news. You know, so we're stuck. I mean, we got stuck. We really made a very wrong decision in this country. This is going to be a very bad event for our country, having this guy. I mean, he's already destroyed our reputation in our country as it is. He's done. And in fact, that's what I think his job is. His job is, in fact, to destroy our reputation, to destroy our institutions, to harm as much as he possibly can every institution in America, and, you know, bring poverty back to America. That's his whole goal, is to really, I mean, we were on a slow progress back to economic recovery until the bankers wanted to knock us off again, which I predicted either way would probably happen sometime in October, which I think now definitely is going to happen. I mean, he's going to oversee the biggest bankruptcy this country's ever seen. I don't think this Congress is going to increase the debt limit. So I think that's going to be the next big thing that nobody really talks about. I can't really get this story open. So hold on. I'm having a pretty hard time getting this British Columbia story open. Okay, so the one that would open was by the Canadian Press. BC tourism feels the effects of wildfires, though cooler weather could bring relief. Tourism officials are starting to assess the impact of the devastating wildfires in British Columbia and have received mixed feedback on the toll so far in the travel sector. So I am not interested in reading about the tourist industry because, frankly, I don't believe in the tourist industry. So I'm trying to get to the meat of the story where they're talking about the fires. It does say that low pressure is bringing it back. Let me see if I can open up another story, folks, because this one just will not open. And while we still have a little bit of time, we only have 15 minutes. Let me go to the nuclear alerts and see if there's anything that we are not being told from the NRC about, you know, the catastrophes in our own country. Current event notification report for August 2010. So let's see. We have from Tennessee a non-emergency Fort Sanders Regional Medical Center. Misadministration problem due to delivery catheter. So somebody got less radiation than they needed to get. Georgia radioactive material program in Georgia. It's also a non-emergency. And what was this? Again, lost iridium sources in transit. So they've lost the sources. On 7/27, two iridium-192 Electa sources were shipped from the Alpha Omega services in Vinton, Louisiana, via a common carrier with two different destination points. They made it to the common carrier's warehouse in Memphis, Tennessee, but then were, quote, lost, unquote. An investigation for both cases has been opened with the common carrier, and the common carrier point of contact has been notified via email. Doesn't that make you feel good that the NRC emails people when they lose iridium and nuclear radioactive contaminants? The packages were expected on 7/28 at their respective destinations. So in case anybody sees them, the serial number is 31016. To UMPC Altoona in Altoona, PA, and serial number 10729 to Arrowhead Radiation and Oncology Image Center in Glendale, Arizona. Wow. Okay. Then we have, what else? Non-emergency again at the Arizona Radiation Regulatory Agency, ATEC Engineering Consultant, LLC. Failed nuclear moisture density gauge handle locking mechanism. We've seen that before. Their gauges are designed to break so they can charge us more money so that they can make a new one. The power reactor in Surrey, Virginia, non-emergency. Let's see. Plant SD required by TS, downgraded condition. 8/9, time of event date. 8/9, time of event, 16/06. Technical specification shutdown for reactor coolant leakage. On 8/9, Unit 1 containment entry was made. Excuse me, I'm going to start again. On 8/9/17, a Unit 1 containment entry was made in order to investigate increased reactor coolant system unidentified leakage. The team noted a through wall leak from the tubing socket weld area of C hot leg sample valve. The sample valve and RCS pressure boundary were declared inoperable, and a 6-hour action statement to place Unit 1 in hot shutdown was entered into at 1338 hours as required by technical specifications 3.1.C.3. Wow. Okay. So what are they saying? There's no radiation release associated with this event, nor are any personnel injuries, or don't worry about it. Everything's fine, folks. Remember, that's their usual statement. It's all perfectly fine. Don't worry about it. It's okay. So I'm going back to the day before, and let's see if we have anything else that is. Oh, here's a good one. Louisiana Energy Services Uranium Enrichment Facility, Gas Centrifuge Facility. non-emergency, all safety items unavailable on 8-4, event 8-8-3. So I guess this is an update from 8-3. I'll skip down to the update. Let's see. Oh, man. This is a seven-pointer, man. The following were received from the licensee via email. Love these emails. Radiological and chemical hazards involved, including isotopes, quantities, and chemical and physical form of any material released. And then it says, there was no material released. Okay. No personnel were exposed to radiation or radioactive materials. Last week, the pH adjustment tanks of the liquid effluent collection and transfer system tanks were moved into the SCDT without the use of administrative critical control. During a work package review yesterday, the transfer of the SCDT was questioned by the ISA engineering group. Material was approximately 250 milliliters of wastewater and 12 liters of NaOH solution in a 5-gallon bottle. Conservative estimates of the total amount of uranium-235 in the slab tanks at the time the 235 millimeter wastewater was removed was less than 600 grams of uranium-235. The amount transferred into the SCDT was below subcritical mass limitations, and therefore Urenco USA could not enter into a condition in which 10 CFR performance required would not have been met. So they're just telling us that something might have happened. No event took place, no non-emergency. So that, to me, these kinds of things is actually more frightening. This means this is them bending over backwards, learning how to lie to us. That's what that tells me. So also on 8-8, we have a power reactor in Ohio, Perry, Ohio, had an accident mitigation. Oh, man, we're so glad they saved us from an accident. High-pressure core spray suppression pool level instrumentation inoperable. On August 8th at 1554 EDT, during restoration from testing of the high-pressure core spray suppression pool level high instrumentation, unexpected as-left indications were found that impacted both the required channels of instrumentation. Subsequent ventilation of the instrumentation lines were completed, and both channels of instrumentation are reading consistent with previously found as-found data. The instrumentation was declared operable at 1635. So don't worry, folks. It's all good. Blah, blah, blah. This just makes me want to spit nails, I do have to say. Another power reactor. Potential uncontrolled radiation release. And this is Susquehanna, Pennsylvania power reactor. Unit 1 and 2. RX type is 1. GE4 is 2 and GE4, notified by Ronald Fry. This happened on 8-8. Time of the event is 2044. Wow. On August 8th at 2044 hours, a loss of secondary containment differential pressure occurred due to an apparent equipment failure. The cause of reduction in reactor building zone 2 to less than the required 0.25 inch of water column per surveillance requirement. Reactor building zone 2 exhaust fans were manually swapped, and reactor building zone 2 differential pressure was restored to greater than 0.25 of an inch of water control by 21.12 hours. 0.25, a quarter of an inch, that's what they need. So it didn't even have a quarter of an inch. Wow. The reactor building zone 1 and reactor zone 3, units 1 and 2, ventilation remains in service and stable. This event being reported under 10 CFR 50.72B3VC and per the guidance of new Reg 1022 Rev Section 3.2.7 as a loss of safety function. There is no redundant Susquehanna secondary containment system. The licensee notified the NRC resident inspector. There is no redundant Susquehanna secondary containment system. So I guess that means that there's no failsafe, which is why they had to report it. Wow, what a trip. So all of this is going on while people aren't even paying attention. Like, really? This is really where we're at. Like, we're on a need-to-know basis, and we really do not need to know. So these are the titles of the things up for public comment, folks. Diversified Science Services, Inc., Export License Amendment Renewal. That's kind of scary. First Energy Nuclear Operating Company, Beaver Valley Power Stations, Units 1 and 2. These comments are going to close on 8/10. This next comment closes on 8/17. It's called Applications and Amendments to Facilities Operating Licenses and Combined Licenses Involving No Significant Hazard Considerations. Right. There's another one, Applications and Amendment to Facility Operating Licenses and Combined Licenses Involving No Significant Hazards and Considerations. So there's two of them. One closes on 8/17 and one on 8/31. Now here's one that closes on 9/7. Applications and Amendments to Facility Operating Licenses and Combined Licenses Involving Proposed No Significant Hazard Considerations and Containing Sensitive, Unclassified, Non-Safeguards Information and Safeguards Information in Order Imposing Procedures for Access to Sensitive, Unclassified, Non-Guards Information and Safeguards Information. Those are all just the licensing and application amendments. Then we have generic communications that are up for public comment. This one closes on 8/16. Clarification on endorsement of Nuclear Energy Institute guidance in designing digital upgrades in instrumentation and control systems. I wonder if that means those little gauges that are always breaking. Draft regulatory guides for public comments. Applications for nuclear power plants and evaluations the applications for nuclear power plants as public comments close on 9/18. Evaluating deviations and reporting defects and noncompliance under 10 CFR Part 21, that closes on 10/31. So we have one more draft new reg publication series. Knowledge and Abilities Catalog for Nuclear Power Plant Operators, Advanced Boiling Reactors, New Regs 2104, Revision 0. That policy closes on 12/31. Information collections. This is really interesting. These are all the things that you could publicly comment on. So where you go on the NRC website is Public Meetings and Involvement. There's a subtitle, and you hit the drop-down menu, and then you'll hit Documents for Comment if you're interested in reading any of these, because they do get kind of technical, but to be honest, it's really important that pay attention to your own little area. Go in, and it matters that we all take a hand in some of this, and you don't have to participate in all of it, but find something and contact them and put in a public comment. Because it does matter. So few people comment that it matters, because there's a percentage-wise, there's not very many of us that comment. My goodness, I see that we only have 30 seconds left. So thank you for joining us. Barry Prince will be with you tomorrow with the big puzzle. I will be back on Monday. I do not have an interview lined up, but there's always news to be had. I may have one, an impromptu, that I can get going. But put your courage feet on, you guys. Take some action. Keep your attitude positive. Remember, it's up to us, and we actually really can help save our planet. And we'll talk to you guys on Monday. Take care.